Welcome into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios. Wow, so much basketball last night. Just wall to wall. Absolutely loved it. So much fun. I was watching on the Mountain West Network the Colorado State Rams in a nail-biter. They took down Gardner Webb last night, 65-63. And joining us now to talk about it, head coach of the Colorado State Rams, Nico Medved. Coach, congratulations. 1-0 to start the season. 65-63. Way to go for you guys.
Appreciate it, man. Just another day at the office.
It's exactly how you drew it up, too, right, Coach? I mean, back and forth, you guys are down 13, you're up 11, and then leave it to Isaiah Rivera at the end to hit a. I thought it was the buzzer beater, pretty close, 0.9 seconds left after he hit the shot. But what an exciting finish for you guys to start the season.
Yeah, it was going to be a tough game. That Gardner Webb team I'm familiar with and had played them. You know, when I was the head coach at Furman, you know, we played them all the time. Coach Kraft does a great job. And, it was down 13, up 11. And then, man, the last 3.5 minutes, everything that could have went wrong kind of did. Some of it self-inflicted, some of it unfortunate. But, boy, you know, we found a way to win, and that's what it's all about. Just really proud of Isaiah Rivera. Showed a ton of poise there on that last play and knocked down a huge shot for us.
Yeah, I mean, that is just such a tough thing to do. You know, like you said, those back-and-forth games, to be able to kind of calm everything down, collect yourself, and hit a key shot. I mean, it looks a lot easier than it actually is.
Well, without question. And He's just one of those guys. He's worked so hard for this moment, you know, now being a junior and is ready for a bigger role. He's an everyday guy, really worked hard at it, and he's got a lot of confidence in himself. And so, yeah, we made the decision to put the ball in his hands there at the end and did a great job. I think there was 7.3 seconds left, and, you know, those guys understand that, you know, you basically have a dribble per second, and 7 seconds is plenty of time to get the ball into the front court there. And Pat Cartier set a great little screen for him, and he got to a spot and knocked down a big shot. And like you said, showed a tremendous amount of poise.
How much, you know, as far as a guy like Isaiah Rivera, how much do you lean on him? You know, Isaiah Stevens, we'll talk about him in a moment, but how much do you lean on a guy like that, John Tonjay, to lead your team throughout the course of the game, but specifically those key moments?
Well, I think, you know, we take a ton of pride in player development, and, you know, Riv and John are guys, they've been with us. I mean, they understand our culture, they understand what winning looks like, they understand how hard you have to work every day and play, and so those guys have been in those moments before, and albeit their role has changed, I think they understand what it takes, and so their leadership has been huge. You know, it's been an interesting offseason, and we've had a lot of things, you know, a lot of people in and out of the lineup with injuries. We're still missing some key guys right now, but it's up to these other guys to step up, and I think that's what you're seeing from those guys.
And you get some newcomers that come in and quickly contribute to this win last night. You mentioned Patrick Cartier with that key pick, but he had some key moments in this game. Joe Palmer, I mean, he had 6 points, but 6 extremely important points. I mean, those points ultimately put you guys in the lead for the first time.
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, Joe is a kid. He's got unbelievable energy. He's just an infectious personality and plays with so much emotion and passion. And he came in and really, really sparked us. Hit a huge shot, got a big rebound and put back. And I thought his energy there really, really sparked the team and kind of got us to crank it up a couple more gears. And it's awesome. You know, Joe's a kid. He didn't get here till later in the summer. Decided to transfer for later in the year, and he just, you know, became eligible for us immediately, and he's a guy that just keeps getting better and better, and it was really fun to see him come in and spark us like that.
Yeah, I loved it. You're right. He had a little spitfire out there. He was pumped up and some key shots there. Patrick Cartier as well. I mean, 12 big points for him. He was doing the other things too, like setting those screens and helping set up that offense too. So that guy, I'm really looking forward to see how he progresses with you this season.
Yeah, Pat's a great young man, and as a Division II All-American, he can really he can really score. He can score in the post. He can shoot the basketball. He's got great instincts. He's strong. We're really excited about him. It's just, you know, making the transition to playing at this level every day is something that he has to continue to do. But we're really excited about him. We see it every day in practice, and, you know, fans got to see a glimpse of it. And I think as the season goes on, he's just going to get better and better.
Now, with this team, Gardner-Webb, you talked about how difficult they can be. I think Kevin Lytle with the Colorado one mentioned that, hey, these are giant killers. They're known for winning some big games and never going away. So how big? I mean, at the half, you guys make those adjustments. The turnovers slow down a little bit. But then you just looked locked in on the defensive side of the ball most of that second half, which allowed for a monster comeback by you guys.
Yeah, you know, you give them credit, I'll be honest. I mean, they kind of surprised us a little bit. They've been a terrific man-to-man defensive team, and they opened up in a little 2-3 zone, which is not something we were expecting. And, you know, we've obviously got some inexperienced guards in the game too, and I thought they really took us out of rhythm early, and we really had nothing going, and kind of had us confused, I thought. And then I thought that affected our defense, and we really were not locked in on that end. And I thought, to our guys' credit, they really responded at halftime and got back to some basics. And we came out and we played better defense, and the defense fueled our offense, and we got into a little bit of a rhythm there in the second half. And I thought our guys just showed a lot of toughness and composure. And, you know, we knew it was going to be a tough game. They're well coached, and again, that Gardner-Webb team was expecting to come in here and have success, but our guys did. They regrouped, came back, and, you know, I would have liked to have seen us handle that last 3.5 minutes better, but that's life. There's a lot of teachable moments, and it's a lot more fun to do that after a win.
Well, and you, Coach, we're talking to Coach Nico Medved, Colorado State, and you learn a lot about your team. I mean, these first games, all up and down the board, no matter who you were watching last night or whatever, it's not always picture perfect. It's not always pretty. You're certainly not where you're going to be in a month, 2-3 months down the road, especially once you get into conference play. But as you're growing and teachable moments, as you said, coachable moments, if you can find a way to win while learning, I mean, that's the best of both worlds.
Yeah, I mean, that's life. I mean, nothing about this is easy. I mean, every night out, just to win any game is very, very difficult, and that's the approach that you have to take. And you always have to believe you're going to get the other team's best effort. Things aren't going to go your way. And, you know, especially as we're mixing and matching some different lineups, some guys are in some new roles this year. And I think oftentimes early in the season, too, in college basketball, teams will throw different things at you than maybe what you've seen in a live game action. And guys are dealing with nerves and all sorts of things. And you're trying to build that chemistry. But the one thing I've seen with this group that's been awesome is they've really bought into the culture of playing together and playing hard and competing. And, you know, there was no panic from these guys at halftime at all. And we just regrouped, and those guys came out and just played one possession at a time. And I was just really proud of them for the way they handled that, because, you know, you want to, what you really find out about your team is what they do when you have some adversity and things don't go their way. And I thought they really answered the bell there last night.
Well, and Coach, to start the season, obviously, months ago, we're seeing the great stuff with David Roddy going on representing Colorado State at the next level with the Grizzlies. I think he's had a fine start to his rookie season. So we already know going in, all right, got to replace that guy. Isaiah Stevens, definitely poised to be that leader. Let's go. Then he gets hurt, and not just a great player on the floor, but as you and I have talked, just a great individual. How difficult is that when you get that news and then you got to talk to the team and say, okay, here we go. We got to try to regroup. We got to edit how we do things here.
Well, it is difficult, and it's difficult for Isaiah. I mean, he's been a day one, everyday guy. He's one of the best point guards in the country. And he's our leader, and so that is difficult. And, you know, our guys really rallied around that, though, too. I mean, they love Isaiah. They know what he means to the team, and they have so much respect for him as a player and a leader. But that's life, you know, and we've been fortunate. We've been fairly healthy here the last couple of years, and, you know, we've had some things not go our way here in the off season. But you've got to respond to that, and you've got to bond together even more. And, you know, our belief is you know, these things can make us stronger as the season goes on. Eventually, we're going to start to get guys back. And, you know, Josiah Strong is going to be a really key player for us, you know, that he's been out of the lineup as well. And so eventually, as we start to get, you know, these guys back, it's going to make us a stronger team because these other guys are getting more experience. And so we miss Zay. There's no way around that. You don't just replace a guy like that. But I think guys are really stepping up, and I see them every day in practice, and I think they're really taking advantage of the opportunity.
What kind of role do you look at for Isaiah? You know, you're like, all right, you're out for a while. We're going to need you when you get back. I've heard several people just say, that guy, if he wanted to, could probably be a coach at some point someday. Do you already kind of see that taking place while he's out?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's something he and I have talked about openly, about him at one day wanting to coach. That didn't surprise me. I mean, he just loves everything about basketball, and he's just got it in his blood. And so, yeah, I mean, he's taken on a different role on the sidelines. He's really trying to help those guards, the Tavy Jacksons and the Baylor Hebs, and he's got great insight. And but I'll say this, I mean, I like that he's getting involved and helping us, and I like Coach Stevens, but I like the player Stevens a heck of a lot more.
And Coach, I do have to ask, I mean, any positive updates, anything like that? I mean, are we still kind of looking at a vague couple months down the road for Isaiah?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's doing great. He's in great spirits. He's you know, doing the work daily that he needs to do to rehab, and, you know, no setbacks so far. Everything's going great. I just think, like you said, when you're dealing with foot injuries, as he starts to progress a little bit more and he's able to kind of, you know, get out there and start doing some more, you know, running and stuff, as that stuff starts to happen here down the road, I think you get a better idea then of what that's like. And like you said, we will not rush him back in any form or fashion. He's going to have to be ready to do that, to get through the grind of a season. And this young man has a great future here playing basketball. So we're not going to do anything at all to jeopardize that. But, you know, who knows? You know, he's doing a great job so far. We do, you know, hope that he's back for conference season. And but yeah, I mean, is who knows? Could be earlier, could be later. We're just taking it one day at a time. But, you know, people can rest assured he's in great spirits and everything's going well for him so far.
Well, we got Coach Isaiah Stevens. We got the player Isaiah Stevens. And, Coach, I'm looking forward to this. We're going to have the radio host or radio co-host Isaiah Stevens up here. So at some point, we got to get you on the show where he can interview you. I think, and I'll just sit back and let that happen. What do you think?
Oh, I would love that. Heck, I better be careful. He may have my job before the season's over. Man.
Well, I just love following you guys. Okay, one quickly. You mentioned Josiah Strong. How's he feeling? Mono, I know that can take a while there. But, yeah, guys are out, injured, sick. Just a mixture of everything right now. But what's that situation looking like?
Yeah, it really stinks. He's a key player for us. And you know, he had mono, and he came back and he played in our close scrimmage against Minnesota and really played well and really looked like he was, you know, coming back. And he just kind of had a setback since then. And, you know, he wasn't able to play in the second half of our exhibition against Metro, and he's just kind of been shut down since. He just kind of feels cruddy. And, you know, sometimes those things can be tricky too. And so we're really praying that he can turn a corner. We need him. We need to get him back on the practice floor and get him back in the lineup. He's a shot maker. He's a terrific defender, and he's got a lot of experience. And again, we think he's a key player for us. So, got our fingers crossed that he's going to start turning a corner, but, you know, it's really hard to know a timetable on those things. You know, it just kind of is what it is, and it'll happen when it happens. And again, we've got to think long term too. We can't do anything to rush him back for the short term and then have him be out longer. So we'll just kind of take that thing day by day, but we miss him too.
Well, Coach, congratulations on a nice win last night. And as you get people healthy and everything, it's nice when you can get an early win to start the season. Last one for you. Do you follow Mr. Roddy's career much? Are you looking at those box scores? Are you catching some Memphis games?
Oh, yeah. I've watched a lot of them. And if ever I'm home and he's been on, we've watched him. My kids want to watch him, too. So, no, he's been doing awesome. I mean, I really, really proud of him. And it's cool to see him playing on such a good team and playing a lot in every game and really learning his role and starting to make some shots. And, yeah, we've all stayed in constant contact with him, and he's following us, too. And so really, really proud of him. It's just awesome to see that. And he's going to get better and better, and he's going to have a long career in the NBA.
Yeah, no question about it. We'll be seeing those guys in the playoffs. I'm pretty sure about that. Coach, I love following your program, and we look forward to getting some guys back and just continuing to catch up with you down the road.
Brady, appreciate your coverage. Appreciate you and what you do.
Thanks, Coach. Appreciate you as always. CSU head basketball coach Nico Medved. They get the win over Gardner-Webb. It was a little scary there for a while there, Angel. You know, Gardner-Webb's up pretty big at one point. They were up 13 at one point in that first half. Then CSU pulls away with like 5 minutes left. They're up 11, and you're thinking, all right, Rams got it figured out here. They're gonna free throw this thing out and end this bad boy. But not so fast. Gardner-Webb makes it interesting. They get the game tied up, but then Isaiah Rivera goes down. As Coach mentioned, he's got the math laid out, too. Like, every dribble, like I don't even know what that was. Per point seconds per dribble, that is math right there. But Rivera gets the shot up, and CSU wins this thing close. Moby Arena, Moby Madness was going crazy. It was madness last night, though. A lot of basketball happening. You saw Wyoming, you know, took out Colorado Christian pretty easily. CU gets a win. And then, unfortunately, UNC, you know, going up against Houston. I mean, Angel, yeah, we were getting excited, and we were like, what if, what if? But at the end of the day, you got two veteran guards, but you have some new pieces to this team, a lot of freshmen that you're counting on, and you're going up against a team that's ready to go today, that's probably ready to get into March Madness today with the Houston Cougars. That was, I mean, probably what we should have expected last night.
Yeah, probably wanted to see a little bit more from Dalen. He just had a rough start. I think 0-for-9 to start the game.
Yeah, it was a rough go for him. Was he forcing it? Was he pushing too hard?
No, Houston's defense was just lights out all game long. Every single, you know, they're either moving the ball around the arc and they can't get a pass in, or they get inside and they get immediately double teamed and can't find help. And Dalen just looked off. He was getting to the basket, but shots just weren't falling for him. The three ball wasn't really that great. So after talking to Coach Smiley and you see the performance out there, it looks it's rusty.
Yeah.
It's a lot of young guys on this team as well, but I liked a lot of the effort I saw from the freshmen.
And again, for UNC, this is a good game to have. I don't care if it's a blowout. For CSU, it's all about that win column, right? I mean, if they are looking at an at-large, which I don't see that happening for Colorado State, I would be pretty shocked with that. But the wins are so important early on. For UNC, dude, wins are important, but they're not important. I mean, it matters what you do in your conference. It matters where you sit in your standings and put yourself in the best position for the Big Sky Conference tournament. So you learn a lot about your team, regardless of who you play, when you play, how you play. But right now, UNC is going to go up against a Houston team, get smoked. It's going to get gradually easier from that point. They have some big battles coming up, for sure. But once they start to get into conference play, they're going to hopefully be able to use that Houston game and go, okay, this isn't Houston. This is a way different. Even San Jose State, when they play some Mountain West teams, these are way different teams. So crazy night last night. We'll talk about it. I was trying to follow everything I possibly could. We had Jerry Schimmel on the call last night, listening to him via the TuneIn app. If you don't have it, that's a great way to follow KFKA along. Anytime, anywhere, any day. But that was, you know, listening to Jerry on the call was great. Not the result you wanted. CSU gets the win. It was crazy there. And then the Denver Nuggets go on the road and beat San Antonio. What are they, 7-3 right now to start the season? Those are important wins because you got a monster road schedule in the month of November. So starting ahead like this is huge. We'll talk about that coming up next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Sunday and Monday Night Football are on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, I'm Darren Dunn, Director of Athletics at the University of Northern Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show, 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into The Whole Show. It is Top Text Tuesday today, Angel. So we restarted this thing. B-Rad a couple of weeks ago won the $50 gift certificate to Cables Pub and Grill. So we started over again. First one to three gets the $50 gift certificate. If you win today, you get a $15 gift certificate. So, you know, a lot of winning going on to get you over to Cables Pub and Grill. Last week, beginner's luck took it. I believe. Yes, that's right. My look at this. My official documentation here says beginner's luck won. Hope I don't throw this away.
Very official.
It's pretty official. So who's going to win it today? First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. That's 888-530-0043. Text about the basketball night that was, the Broncos, our Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Who's the best team in the NFL today, right now? Was that week 9? Did we just get done with week 9? Wow, it moves fast. We just get done with week 9. So who's the best team in the NFL right now? And I almost put the Dolphins in there. But what I did, Angel, was I took the top two teams in the AFC and I took the top two teams in the NFC. And that's the way we're going to go. Eagles, Chiefs, Bills, Vikings. The Eagles are, of course, undefeated, which is why they're getting 45% of the votes. 45%. Of the hooligans believe that it's the Philadelphia Eagles, then it's the Bills, then it's the Chiefs, then it's the Vikings. So go vote at thewholeshow.com. I'd love to see where you guys sit on this one, because I don't think it's as easy as, you can't just say, well, they're undefeated, they're the best team in the NFL. You can't do it. But are they? That's how you got to look at it. They do have a great interior defense, my goodness. And then Jalen Hurts has been fantastic. So, is it the Eagles? Are they the best team in the NFL right now? Bills have some question marks. Rough game against the Jets. Now Josh Allen's banged up. Will he go this weekend? The Chiefs beat the Titans, but, you know, was it that sexy of a win? No. Overtime win, right? And then the Vikings. Mr. Kirk Cousins, who's just absolutely shredded, dude. I mean, you've seen his little sleep number ads. I mean, he's sitting there doing push-ups and all that stuff, getting ready. Who does push-ups like that before bed? But you've seen those ads, so you could tell he's probably shredded. Takes the shirt off. There you go. Leave no doubt. Is it the Eagles? Best team in the NFL?
I think they're the team with the least amount of huge questions.
Mm-hmm.
I think with the Vikings, you're kind of just waiting. Like, are they for real, for real? Is Kirk Cousins really this guy? The Chiefs continuing to do what the Chiefs do. We doubt them early on, and then they just win games.
They just win.
And Patrick Mahomes puts up the numbers.
Yeah, man.
The Bills, they're good. They are good, but with Josh Allen's elbow, what's going to happen there? That's concerning.
Sure.
And then the Eagles, they're undefeated, and nothing really to say against them.
But all four of those teams have those questions. Not like, we're not asking if the Chiefs are for real. The Chiefs are for real, yes. Patrick Mahomes makes them for real, no matter what. But you are asking, okay, they're winning some interesting games. They're winning some close games. I don't have their schedule pulled up in front of me, but I suppose the question is, you know, can they continue to just survive in these close games like that and still put together a great spot in the playoffs? But the bottom line is, dude, is there any overwhelming favorite right now? I mean, are you... At the beginning of the season, we're saying, Bills, dude, nobody's going to beat the Bills. After what we saw they did to the Rams to start the season, we're thinking, oh, my goodness. I don't think there's any overwhelming team right now. The Vikings were asking the same question. What's that going to look like on primetime and big games for Kirk Cousins? So, yeah, there's a lot of question marks surrounding all four of those teams. Eastside Chris texting in on the First Advantage text line. Brady, if the Broncos drop one to Tennessee this weekend, should Tanner come out of the booth to become interim coach? Then should they use a first-round pick to get Sean Payton? Well, not Tanner on that one.
No?
They can't. They're not going to. Are the Saints going to go with the first-round pick that the Niners have essentially and give up Sean Payton. They do have a first-round pick to trade for Sean Payton now. That was the knock against Sean Payton, of getting Sean Payton. It's going to take a first-rounder to get him. But if you're the Saints, you can get a pretty good first-round pick for that.
Oh, and you heard them last night. Payton said, I'm a free agent, and Lamar Jackson's a free agent, so do they try to meet up somewhere?
We waited.
Dallas.
We waited too long. We should have waited a little longer. We should have stuck with Drew Lock. My original assessment, Angel, was stick with Drew Lock, give him the one more year, and then who knows? You could have had this situation in front of you. Although Baltimore can franchise tag Lamar Jackson.
Would you sign Lamar Jackson if you didn't have Russell?
If the Broncos didn't have Russell Wilson, I would sign Lamar Jackson today. I would break all the rules and text him and say, Lamar, we want you, man. What's it going to take? Let's go.
The most electrifying man in all of entertainment.
Yes. I mean, he missed a couple of throws last night. I'm still taking that guy. I just, boy. Is Sean Payton going to be the head coach of the Cowboys next year?
I have no idea.
Man,
if they keep winning, I find it hard to just outright fire McCarthy. So,
what was Sean Payton in his last 5 years? Because, okay, just bear with me. You check that out, Angel. Sometimes we talk about veteran coaches that moved on from the team. Either they did or the team moved on from them. And then after a year or two of them being out, suddenly we're like, oh, this guy, you have to bring him in. You got to get this guy. I'm just asking, why is Sean Payton like this gem that's sitting there? I'm not saying he's a bad coach at all. Obviously, he's a good coach. But what was his last few years?
So they didn't go to the playoffs last year. Before that, they were on a four-year streak of going to the playoffs. So starting in 2017, 11-5, 13-3, 13-3, 12-4, and then 9-8 last year.
And so how much of that is Drew Brees or Sean Payton? I mean, that's what you have to ask, because last year, no Drew Brees, and there you go. I'm just saying, is he worth this kind of talk? Because every team that's not like a shoe-in for the playoffs this year is talking about what it would take to get Sean Payton to become their head coach. But that's what we do. I mean, it was Gruden before he went to the Raiders, and honestly, Gruden's record was pretty modest. Save, you know, he got the Super Bowl with Tampa Bay and all that stuff, but it wasn't like he was Bill Belichick. You know, we just get excited about names. I mean, how often was Bill Cowher's name in the mix every single year after he retired? And even though he never said anything like, I might come out of retirement, I'm going to be a coach someday again, we were always talking about Bill Cowher, Mike Shanahan, all these guys that were... They had greatness in them at one point, but, you know, their last few years in the league, whatever. And Sean Payton, like you said, those records for the most part are pretty good. But how much was that Drew Brees? It's a worthwhile question.
And I think also with Sean Payton, you have to ask him, what kind of quarterback situation do you want? Do you want a young guy that you can mold up, or do you want a Russell Wilson type that's experienced, that wants to do things their own way? And you have to work with them as they play out their career.
And the more and more we hear about Russell Wilson is that maybe he was difficult to work with in Seattle. Eastside Chris Brady, Payton did good for Brees. Maybe he could help Wilson. I don't know. I mean, does Russell Wilson need quote unquote help? That he would take in. He's a veteran quarterback. He thinks he's a Hall of Famer. How bendable is he going to be? He says all the right things about Hackett, for starters, but I still have my questions about all of that. But I guess we'll see what the Broncos do against the Titans. Angel, we got to get to the good, the bad, the ugly from last night very quickly. The good, the bad, the ugly presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. And check out my friends at FMS Bank. At their website. For more, go to fmsbank.com/KFKA. The good for me, a buzzer beater for one of our teams, Colorado State. Thank you very much, Isaiah Rivera.
Tanjay running the baseline, gets it into Rivera. Isaiah racing up into the forecourt. Rivera out front, drives right, pull-up jumper, foul line for the win! Yes, sir! 65-63, Colorado State.
I was watching that on the Mountain West Network there. There's the CSU home crew calling the game. Great win. Well, okay, it's a win. I'm not going to say it's a great win. It was a good win for CSU. Gardner Webb, I don't know. Kevin tells us they're giant beaters. They can pull off some big wins. Either way, you got the dub. You're 1-0. The bad, as we're doing this poll question on NFL teams, you always want your best quarterbacks out there for more entertainment value down the stretch. Josh Allen, some serious concerns about that elbow going forward. What does that look like for Allen? He didn't look good in that last game. He admitted as much. But now you wonder, they got a huge game against one of those other teams in the poll question with the Vikings. Does Allen not go in this game coming up this weekend? And the ugly... Listen, it is what it is. We kind of expected this kind of deal with the UNC Bears, knowing they were going to go to Houston and they were 25-point dogs or whatever. First game of the season, you're ironing out some, you're shaking out some rust, all of that. But yeah, either way you slice it, you lose that badly. It's ugly. It was an ugly start to the season, 83-36. The Bears go back at it on Friday. Going up against, they're playing to what, Texas A&M Commerce Lions. The Texas A&M Commerce Lions. Do they bounce back on Friday? What are they in? They're first in the South and Southland Conference. So the Bears will look to bounce back on Friday.
Also, nobody in the Big Sky won so far.
Yeah, everyone's 0-1. I saw that. Interesting. So, again, Big Sky doesn't care. These games don't really matter to them. This is about finding out who you are. That's the good, the bad, the ugly presented by FMS Bank. More on the poll question. Where are we standing in the NFL right now? What do the playoffs look like? And just how far out are the Broncos? Let's jump out real quick, Angel, and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
.11:46 on this Tuesday morning after a very busy night in basketball. Did we learn much from last night? Probably not in the college ranks. I mean, it's so early. It's just fun to get these games going again. And it sounds like we're going to see a good chunk of the local teams back at it again on Friday night. So, yeah, it's fun. It's a blast. And watching back and forth between CSU and listening to our UNC coverage and then watching the Nuggets too. That Jamal Murray, Nikola Jokic thing is looking better than I've seen. I mean, I still think there's stuff to work out, but you're 7-3. Just like I said with Coach Nico Medved earlier, it's nice when you can be working stuff out and winning. Michael Malone has a new nickname for his MVP and the Blue Arrow. What is it?
Him and Nikola are just like, you know, peanut butter and jelly, man. They just know each other so well, and they go so well together, you know, which is more important.
Peanut butter jelly time.
Murray trying to get by Vassell, does put it up on the glass and hits. Murray in the post against the smaller Trey Jones. Murray turn up and under. Ooh. Oh, as sweet as it gets. But the second team now, Murray inside back. Oh, the backhander to Nikola Jokic. Brilliant feed by Jamal Murray. Murray trying to shake Sohan behind the back to Jokic, who slams it through. Murray the assist.
Joker, how do you feel about peanut butter?
How do you feel about peanut butter and jelly?
Nickname with Jamal.
What if I had?
You gotta be peanut butter, bro.
What?
Because you're thick. You're heavy.
Okay, sweet.
I'm the smear over top.
It got awkward. It got awkward down the road. Jamal said, you know, I'm jelly because I'd smear all over the top. So Jamal, remember this, Angel. We need to remember this. Jamal is going to be jelly, and Nikola Jokic is now peanut butter.
Yes.
That seems about right.
Makes sense.
If you were describing the two, who's closer to a peanut butter and who's closer to a jelly?
I like Jokic's peanut butter. He's, you know, he's confident. You know what you're always going to get with him.
Good protein. There's
works
protein.
With everything.
It's good for you.
It's good connective tissue in your sandwiches.
Yes, and jelly is kind of like that. That makes it perfect.
It's the sweetness.
That's the sweetness. It makes it work. It's awesome. Because if you just eat a peanut butter sandwich, it's good. You know, peanut butter. I like peanut butter. It's probably good for you. I don't know. Maybe it's bad for you. I don't know. But jelly brings it all together. Who's the milk? Is that Michael Malone?
Could be. We're just making lunch with the nuggets.
Lunch with the nuggets. That's exactly right. I loved it, man. That was a lot of fun watching that game last night. Now, again, there's moments. When I watch the NBA, especially early on, it's just about winning games. It's not necessarily about how you win games. Like, are the Nuggets a better team than San Antonio? Yes. But it was a closer game than you thought. And San Antonio kept coming back, making it interesting. But the Nuggets called a timeout there to start the third period and buckled down defensively. And that's what you want to see from this team. Michael Porter Jr., I thought, was sensational. He comes out of the game, though, at the end. Malone goes with his defensive rotation, leaves the Joker and Jamal in, and it worked out. Malone said Joker was the defensive player of the game. And Joker's defense looked good. I got to tell you something I've noticed, though. You know when Joker has two fouls and he's not getting the calls and they got a couple of turnovers in a row, can't score, you start to see the irked, the annoyed Joker. And then you get the crap foul where he just swipes. You know, like it's not going to, you know it's not, it's a frustration foul. I've seen him dial that back a little bit. There was a lot of opportunities last night for him to do that and he didn't do it. I think the broadcast even acknowledged it.
Yeah, he kind of stayed composed a little bit, and I understand his frustration because he's a bigger guy. He can take hits a little differently, so he doesn't get a lot of calls down low. But taking that, you know, anger, frustration, and just putting it out on the court, helping your teammates out, getting the passing last night was awesome. Seeing guys hit shots, seeing guys play for each other, really felt that. Obviously, you played this team twice in a row. You're going to find things that work for you, like Bones and DeAndre continuing to get that chemistry up. I like it. The bench unit's starting to figure things out.
Yeah. Bones still has those, like, really good moments. And then he has these, like, where are you, what are you doing here moments. That's probably just going to be growing pains throughout this season. I really expect that. So, no, the Nuggets got a crazy road journey coming up in the month of November. And we'll see how that one works out. 51 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. When we come back, a little bit about the UNC Bears, you know, where we are with them. Not, you know, nothing to worry about with a Houston loss. It's kind of expected. It's fine. And then also more on our Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Who's the best team in the NFL right now, today? We got a quick break coming up. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and Their Coach. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Top Text Tuesday rolling in here. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Stickman says, Chiefs are the best team in the NFL because of Mahomes. Is Mahomes the best quarterback in the NFL? Who's the best quarterback today? Are you going there? Is Tua the best quarterback in the NFL?
I won't bring up all the stats, but he's leading in almost all of them.
You know what? While we're there, Geno Smith is right up there. I'm just tossing it out there for funsies. We're going to talk about that coming up next. Got the lunch rush. We got the poll question. More basketball recap. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.